Tell my people my return is imminent. Tell my people my return is imminent, saith the Lord your God and King. I will return. I will avenge my own. And the world will be punished for the deeds that they have done and for their ways and for how they handle my people and how they ignored revelation. Judgment will come, saith the Lord. Judgment is nearby. It's time for my people who love me to walk in my way and be ready in these last days that they may be a glorious church and without spot or wrinkle, that I may take them to be with me, saith the Lord your God and King. This is a time that the Lord will return. We're in the season. I believe we're going to shortly see the return, the imminent return of the Lord. These days are upon us, and judgment will fall. The judgment hammer of God will fall. So many people have desired to see justice done. And I have desired to see people repent, because I know for a fact that the justice hammer of God will fall. Recently, I've been dealing with his imminent return, because that's what he keep putting them in my heart. And I hear my brothers and sisters in the Lord say that there's going to be this great and wonderful revival, which I'm for it, but God is doing a mighty move. But this time, and I knew this for a long time, that this revival is going to be among those who are sincere. It's not going to be where people just get saved and go to church for a while, then it fades away and they go back to their ways. No. This move of God, people that are saved are going to follow God and obey Him. Some are just getting started. But the imminent return of the Lord is going to protect those who are newcomers to faith. Because people take cues from what they see others do. And so many people have fallen away, and then they don't realize they're in a lukewarm state. The Lord's going to have to leave them because they would not repent. They won't budge from the positions in life that they've taken. And they're not like Christ. They're miserable, wretched, blind and naked, and they're poor. They don't know their condition. They don't see it. And that's what Jesus described in the Laodicean church. And so many will come to Jesus saying, Lord, Lord, I preached in your name. We did miracles in your name. We cast out demons in your name. He'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. Or depart from me, you that work iniquity. There are two types of people that Jesus is going to cast away. The lukewarm, they're more like Saul. They once had a relationship, but they went back to the world. They didn't deal with the fiery darts, and they didn't deal with sin in their life, and they didn't drive it out, just like the Israelites didn't drive out the Canaanites. The Hebrews didn't drive out the Canaanites like they were supposed to. And they became like smoke in their eyes and thorns in their side. In fact, God had to drive them out of the land with heathen kings. And that the Lord did not want to have to do that, but he had to do it because they let the influence of the world corrupt them. And that's what the lukewarm church have done. And then there are those that never had a relationship with God, but they are around the people of God, and they feel we can't tell. See, that's the problem. Some people, Jesus will say, I never knew you. And so this thing, you know, I used to think he was talking to one group of people until one day I asked him for an example. And I remember him giving me Saul was like a lukewarm person because, King Saul, he was like a lukewarm believer because he once had a relationship, he knew better, did worse. But he ordered Doeg of all people, an Edomite, who hated Jews, to kill the priest. Now his own army wouldn't do that. They wouldn't go stoop that low to kill the priest. I think it was 70 priests that he killed. And you know, one priest is bad enough, not many priests. He had Doeg did it because King Saul ordered it. And Doeg was glad to do it. Now Doeg he would have, he, you know, I could see him trying to include himself as a proselyte, but he didn't have he never had a relationship with the Lord. So, and his actions, if he had any kind of relationship with the Lord, there's no way he would have killed a priest. And it's let alone arguing with a priest is bad enough, but killing them, having a disagreement is bad, but killing them, many of them that are innocent, and they explain their innocency. And King Saul was so focused on his rage against David that he had those men murdered. Now, the lukewarm church and people that don't know, that never had a relationship with God, that love the world, they're just as dangerous. A lukewarm believer, if they love the world enough, they're just like King Saul. They won't budge from, I say, Lord, what is it with lukewarm? Why won't people just repent? And he said they won't budge. And it reminded me of in 2016 when the Lord first started dealing with me about end time things. And he started giving, and I had questions, of course. He started talking about his return. I said, well, people, I know the condition of the church because God continued to talk to me about it. I said, Lord, if you return now, a lot of people are not going to make it. And the Lord explained to me way back in 2016 that he's been pleading with people to live right, to do right. But they've gone their own way. And because he said it this way, he said they turned their shoulder because they turned their heart. Now, God is looking at details. I can only see what people portray. He even said people portray themselves. And I'm looking, but God is always looking at the heart. What do people allow? What do people do? Then I listen to the Ugandan pastor on YouTube. Every believer needs to hear his testimony. It's still on YouTube. I check, and I sent a video today, and today is September the 14th, 2021. But, and this is heart to heart. I gave a word instead of the introduction. But anyway, I love the Lord, my God and King. And I told Sister Stephanie about it. And she watched it by now. But every believer need to hear what the Ugandan pastor said. And the Lord showed him that he tried to repent from a deed. But the Lord pointed out that it's your ways. And so many people have corrupt ways, and they don't see themselves. They're blind. Let's look at it. This is Revelation. Revelation 3. Revelation 3. And scroll down to the Laodicean church. Here it is. Listen closely to what Jesus said. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would, or I wish, or I desire, that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of thy mouth. I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Look at verse 17 again. Because thou say, you say, just like the people who say, Lord, we preached in your name, we cast out devils, we work miracles. Because you say, I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, and blind, and naked. And before that, he said, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. When miracles happen in a ministry, that doesn't validate. The miracles of ministry never, ever validates salvation. Sometimes that's the mercy of God. But revelation, when God usually give fresh revelation through holy vessels. But see, when people twist the word to fit what they want, and people amen it, Well, lukewarm people will amen a lukewarm message. And people that don't know better might amen a lukewarm message. But Jesus put it this way: my sheep hear my voice, and they know my voice, and they follow me. When you read in St. John chapter 8 through chapter 10, you see these things. But see, when people are young and don't know, and they have bad counsel, some people, they see it for what it is, and they just stop going to church, or they stop going to a bad church. If their parents make them go, they don't want to go, but they love God. And then if one spouse wants to go to a dead church and the other one don't, you know, people that really love God, I've been there. I understand how it is. If you're sincere, people that are not sincere, they'll act like Saul against David. That's the best way for me to put it. When you're sincere and you love God and God is with you, some people will despise you because you have a relationship with God. And instead of them just repenting and having a good relationship themselves, they will despise you and work against you and be divisive. See, the falling away will happen. The Lord knew this was going to happen. That's why Paul said that the Lord won't come until there's a falling away first. The falling away has happened. I'm sorry. That's just the way it is. That's why things are so backwards. That's why the world have fortified themselves to kill Christians. Governments have come together. They're working together on a plot to destroy the people of God in real time. They've been doing it for a long time. George H.W. Bush started talking about the New World Order, there were secret societies that had planned this a long time ago. But first, Satan can't move. Those who take orders from Satan, they're taking orders from Satan, and that's just the way it is. But Satan can't move against a strong church. But something's going to happen to the church before Satan can come out of the hole. Remember, he's a snake. Snakes don't come out unless they got some kind of advantage. It's got to be hot. It's got to be warm. They got to make sure ain't nothing around to step on their head. You know, they come out in certain conditions. Well, Satan the same way. He's not going to come out and try to tackle a thriving church when one of our youngest daughters can stop him in his tracks by speaking the name of Jesus. That will embarrass him. So he'll stay in his hole until the church goes apostate. And the apostate church is what God is going to leave behind. And recently he said, when I come from my church, not one mistake will be made. In other words, everybody that he takes with him in the rapture, they were ready to go, and he took them with him. Everybody he leave, he should have left them. Everybody he take, he should have took them. It's well evaluated. Not one mistake would be. These are the holy things that the Lord have told me. And he's not going to do this again. He's not going to let another satanic person enter heaven. Because over time, their hearts will harden and they'll cause another problem, just like Lucifer did. And he'll, you know, remember, Daniel said there's going to be an end to sin. And it is. The Lord loves us. He cares about us. And I do my best to receive what he's saying and share it with his people. And I love his people. There's no reason, you know, for sin. I told a friend of mine, I was talking to Reuben today, and I told him, I said, man, when the Lord come back, and even after the thousand-year reign of Christ, Satan's put away, there's no more sin, all the sinners are gone. See, he's going to rapture the church. We're going to fight with him in the Battle of Armageddon. Then we're going to have a thousand years reign of Christ, and that's going to be good. And the church is in, and we love God. But there's going to be a multitude of people that will live in that thousand years that will still grow old and die because death won't be finished yet. So the multitudes that live in that thousand year period, they're going to decide to do something. Some of them will be born in that situation. They'll be born in the millennial reign of Christ. And we'll tell them about things that happened But Satan, at the end of that day that we spend with God, at the end of that, the Lord's going to lose Satan for a season. And he'll tempt whoever he will. And he's going to try to do another battle. And everything that follows after Satan is going to be totally destroyed with Satan. And this is going, that's going to be the end of it. See, Jesus already stopped sin. He won already. That's why when you speak the name of Jesus, it's the same as Jesus. And you stop Satan in his tracks. And any child of God can stop Satan. It's not hard. It's not a big deal. If you rebuke Satan and he obey you, that's not a big deal. He has no covenant, you do. But first you have to live in covenant with God. Now, at the end of this 1,000-year reign, Satan's put away. There's no more sin. Nobody's going to miss sin. Nobody's going to wish they had it back. It's going to be a thing of the past and well forgotten. And all the people who love sin, they're going to be forgotten. And they're going to be under our feet wherever you are on earth, because hell is in the center of the earth, and that's where they'll be, and that's where they'll always be. They'll be down there burning in that fire with the worms and all the evil things, and all the evil things of the universe will go to hell, and that'll be that. And it'll all be forgotten, and nobody's going to want it back. And when they see sometimes people don't come out of sin because they don't understand the light. They never walked in it. But when you walk in the light, you don't want sin anymore. You have an appetite for the light only, especially when you're sincere. But if you can be enticed and you can't make up your mind, you're going to be you'll live in a lukewarm state and be a lukewarm state of being, and you'll be unstable. And then you'll go right back to being just like what he describes in 16 and 17, Revelation 3. So then, because you're lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. And he don't want people as cold either. But you got to be on fire for God. Because thou sayest, I am rich. See, you have to get past illusion. Sometimes people prosper and they say, well, God did it. You know, there's an old belief that if it's good, it came from God. And if it's bad, it came from God because you were bad. Well, some people have the imagination that's not of God, but they still have this imagination that if I'm prospering, if things are going good, then God is smiling on me. Not true at all. Because people who are lukewarm, they will not help those that are sincere. They will despise people that's sincere. Can you imagine King Saul promoting David after he realized that David was the anointed one to be king? And David served Saul, but that didn't matter. He was still afraid. He was still on his power binge. King Saul looked at David as a threat because he loved power and he didn't want David to have it. But so when people are rich, lukewarm people will bless lukewarm. The world loves the world. And lukewarm believers love lukewarm believers. And they'll help a lukewarm believer when they won't help a person that's on fire for God. Now watch this. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not. They don't know that they are wretched and miserable, poor, blind, and naked. They're spiritually poor. They're miserable, depressed. Even the things that go right, they can't enjoy it. They're wretched. They can't bring nothing to the table. They're sterile to life. Whatever they touch, it just turns sour. They're wretched, miserable. They're poor. They don't have the life of God in them like they're supposed to have, because they've been leavened by sin and baited into the world and enticed and hooked. So they're miserable, poor, blind, and naked. They're naked. They don't have on their priestly garment. They don't have on their kingly garment because they don't have, they're not in covenant with God. You have to be in covenant with God to have authority. You have to have, be in covenant with God to operate as a priest. So they're out of bounds. Now, this is the, I love God. He always has a solution. Verse 18, he said, I counsel thee, the spirit of counsel is dealing with us now, to buy me gold, tried in the fire. This is money you get by sincerely working unto God. When they used to take possessions after they spoiled a kingdom, they were supposed to burn it. If it was metal, they were supposed to burn it to purify it. If it was something that could not withstand fire, they were supposed to wash it with the water to cleanse it before they bring it into the camp. Now, Gideon took on the earrings of the of his, you know, his those that he fought. And they took the earrings. I think they were Ishmaelites. I got to go back and research them, but he took their ring, their earrings, and he asked for them, but they didn't purify it. But the word said that those things became a snare to him. Now, you've taken this, these evil possessions without purifying it, and you used it for whatever you wanted it. But then he bore a son that was a murderer that acted just like the people he took that jewelry from. So you have to pay attention. When you follow God, when you learn to follow God, when you don't break protocol. It's going to be a problem if you do. Even if you don't know you broke one. You got to follow God. Sometimes people don't know they have sins of commission and sins of omission. They don't realize it. That's why you go, you present yourself to the Lord and say, Lord, is there anything that's not like you in my life? Help me destroy it. Now, and pay attention to the Lord. You got to put effort into this. You just can't say the magic prayer and think it's going to be all right. Repentance requires learning. It requires adjustments. There are things you got to do. You got to reject some things. And sometimes you got to let the wrong people out of your life. You got to reject them. Don't run with people that's not right. Don't let their ways get on you. And you have to go to work. You have to take care of your family. You have to be around people. But when the Lord give you wisdom about people, you have to walk in it. And he'll help you deal with people in a wise way so that whatever they're doing don't get on you. He said, I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire. Work is under God. Do the works of God. Go about doing good. That thou beest, that's gold tried in the fire. Durable riches, the Proverbs calls it. That thou mayest be rich. And white raiment, and that's the righteousness of Jesus. That thou mayest be clothed. You, in heaven, you're clothed, your righteousness will be known by your garments. All the deeds that you've done, Henry Grover said that. And I've heard others say the same thing. But I love Henry Grover. He's a man that walked the line. He loved God. He kept covenant. He was a man that was devoted, a sincere man. You can tell that he was sincere. And God did many works in his life and many wonderful miracles, but he's more known for his sincerity than the wonderful miracles that happened. And the miracles happened because he was sincere. And you could tell. Now, but he said when he went to heaven, the garments is one piece, and it's all of your righteous deeds is in that garment. And it speaks a message of righteousness that you got from Jesus, and you decide to walk in it of your own free will. All right, he said, I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. See, if you're clothed in righteous covenant, kingdom covenant. The blood of Jesus made you white as snow. Not your skin color, but your righteousness. That thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And then anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that you might see. See, when you can't tell that you're out of bounds But when your eyes are anointed with eye salve that you may see, you'll know that you're inbounds. You'll know your state because you're back in covenant with God. And the word of God will expose everything that's right and everything that's wrong. You'll begin to understand what's right with what's right and what's wrong with what's wrong. But when people are in a lukewarm state of being, they don't know. But they're going to find out when the rapture comes. They're going to feel like Jesus left them, and they might not even understand why. But when they look back at their ways and their thoughts, there's unforgiveness, unrepentance. Their ways are bad. And they didn't know it because they couldn't see. They were blind to the fact that they had gotten out of bounds, out of covenant. They listened to people that told them whatever they wanted to hear. See, the Lord gave us everything we needed. He said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Now listen, if these things were not true, Jesus would not have put it that way. It is true. It did happen. It is a problem. And many wonderful people that we still know and love will be left behind. Now, the Lord told me that many people, he said, when I asked him, what is it with lukewarm people? He said they won't budge. Now, the ten virgins, five were wise and five were foolish. All right. We're looking at them. They're in an evil state. Now, when you look at man's measure, they might be all right. Even the angels can't tell who's a tare and who's a wheat. But these are people that were once believers. And they went back to the world. They're contaminated by the world. They're a little different than a tare, but they still do the works of darkness. They're like King Saul. They went back into Satan's kingdom, and they just didn't know it. Well, the foolish virgins, they did the opposite of what they should have been doing. They didn't fill their heart with the word of God and drive out darkness. The wise virgins filled their heart with the word of God, and they had the word of God, and they were ready when the bridegroom came. But the foolish virgins, they're more foolish than evil. They went evil because they're foolish. And their life went to disaster because they didn't guard their heart. And now the Lord's going to return. And there are many people that came to the kingdom. Because there are people, God has a way. He always has a plan for what can happen. And he told me what he would do years ago. When the pastors wouldn't follow him, God had to come up with something to counter him. And he told me what he was going to do. He said he'd raise up people that from the streets. He'll raise up a new group of people that's not in the mainstream. They're unknown people. Now, I've heard many other pastors, or I've heard other people say the same thing. He raised up people that will follow him and obey him. And they're unknown people. Now, Perry Stone talked about a man that he had a prayer in the park, and thousands of people came. That let me know it's happening. He's unknown. He don't have a radio show. He didn't have a TV show that I know of. But God did this. And there are people. And see, the Lord concealed these things from the lukewarm, so that they won't contaminate those that are weaker but sincere. And the Lord, he explained these things to me. Many people have already apostatized, gone back to the world, and they won't budge. He said, that's how God put it. They won't budge. They won't come back. They won't repent. So there's nothing God can do about it. They made a choice. But the Lord saved people through other means, and the world don't know it. And people don't know it. God can do it. He can do what he need to do. Because he told me many people have come. And he's going to come. He said if he come back now, it will protect them from those that are lukewarm. Because if it's just like what Jesus said with the to the Pharisees. Y'all, he said, you look high and low to make a proselyte, and when you make one, you make him twofold more the child of hell than you are. And that's bad. That's what people do when they are corrupt. They beguile those that are unstable. And this has been going on a long time. This is not the first generation that happened, but it's the generation that it happened the most. So, our King is coming. Be of good cheer, but be ready that you be not left. Not saying that you will be left, but I don't want that to happen. His return is upon us. Imminent. It's about to happen. And then he said this in verse 20. He says, in 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. If you know you've been in sin and wouldn't repent, repent now, right now. Don't try to go to sleep tonight without repenting, because the Lord's return is upon us. He's knocking now. Well, but after he raptured his church, then the enemy is going to come out of his hole, and there's going to be a terrible war with the saints. Now remember something. The Lord's not moving us out of the path of the enemy. He's moving us out of his way, because he's going to avenge his people. He just told me that again. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. All these things are true. So be stable now. Do what's right now. And encourage others to do the same. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not here. Continue to mighty move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. In Jesus Christ.